Rebel Wilson, who came out on social media. Now, there's a lot of speculation that she did it to get ahead of a tabloid story in the Sydney Morning Herald about her relation.
Anthony Albanese, this is only the unemployment rate.
Yeah, okay, so what?
Albanese, if you win tonight, is Toto going to live at the lodge or Kirribilli House?
And is asking a question about your own policy. Is asking a question about your own policy.
Hang on.
Is asking.
Journalists behaving badly. We've all heard them, from the insensitive and sexist to the inane and the downright rude. We laud the great investigative journalists who expose corruption, but the public is increasingly questioning the way many journalists behave. Following the backlash against the Sydney Morning Herald's coverage of Rebel Wilson's personal life, I spoke to former senior Sydney Morning Herald staffers Peter Frey and Sasha Molitoritz about whether big changes are needed to how journalists report the news. I worked with both Peter and Sasha for many years when I was a reporter at the Herald.
I mean, if I want to know what Elon Musk is thinking today, I just go to his Twitter feed. I don't need to do anything else. He's got 94 million followers.
That was Peter Frey, former publisher and editor-in-chief of the Sydney Morning Herald, former co-director of the Centre for Media Transition at UTS here in Sydney, and now managing editor at independent news publisher Private Media, publisher of Crikey. Peter reckons the emergence of social media has changed the cosy deal journalists used to have with celebrity publicists. And that means it's time to dump the gossip column.
One more penny, at it again, read about it.
As recent examples have shown, celebrities don't really need the news media, certainly nowhere near the extent that they used to. And they control their own narrative, if you like, through their own social media feeds. So what's the use value, if you like, of journalists really reporting the ins and outs of this and that, you know, of a celebrity thing? I mean, the truth of it is a lot of celebrity journalism is and always has been an extension of PR and marketing. Again, going back to the rise of social media, the journalism, mainstream journalism, if you like, becomes less important for PR and marketing. I guess the other part of this is, could it not be a really good use of journalists' time to do some real reporting rather than hanging off the words of people who are incredibly well catered for, earn a lot of money, and have very little relevance to, you know, ordinary lives?
Peter Frey says dumping gossip journalism doesn't have to mean dumping readers.
There's multiple ways that you can get people to click on a story and share a story, and there's multiple subject matter. There was a great example of that a couple of years ago on BuzzFeed, where they hired a full-time science reporter, and she got some remarkable results in just writing great stories about science and packaging them up in a really social media-friendly way.
Sasha Molitoritz is interested in how journalists can shape a more ethical media landscape.
Journalism, at its best, is doing a great job in the public interest.
The former Sydney Morning Herald feature writer is now a senior lecturer at the Centre for Media Transition at UTS. He thinks journalism would serve the public better if it was more collaborative and less antagonistic. We talked about how the existing Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance's Code of Ethics works.
I love the code by the MEAA. I think it's a really concise, important document. That said, a lot of journalists don't really know what it says. In research that we've done, we've interviewed some journalists and they're not very familiar with it. In fact, some of them are not familiar with it at all. As it happens, they actually do behave often according to the code's principles, just not really knowing it, because what they do is they respect people's privacy, they strive to be accurate, et cetera, all the provisions of the code. So I think the code is really valuable. Journalists should know a bit more about what it says. But beyond that, yes, journalists need to reflect more on their ethical practice. So the whole industry needs to do this. Newsrooms need to do this. Because I know when I was a journalist, you just did the job most of the time, and you were making ethical decision after ethical decision, usually just on your own. Occasionally with a bit of talk with your colleagues, but usually just on your own. this needs to be a bit more above board, so journalists aren't just relying on their personal moral compass.
What's the current WPI?
Google it, mate.
In the lead-up to the recent federal election, journalists asked a series of so-called gotcha questions, trying to trip up then-opposition leader Anthony Albanese and, in that short recording you just heard, Greens leader Adam Bandt. Is it time we ditched that kind of reporting? Sacha Molitoritz again.
Yeah, I think there is a problem with those gotcha moments. I think they aren't good journalism. I don't think they really reveal anything. I think people, the audience, is tired of that sort of journalism. Sure, there are some people who cheer that on, you know, for partisan reasons usually, but I don't think that's good journalism. You mentioned the word respect. For me, that's the fundamental starting point for ethics, right? So we start, where do we get our ethics from? What are we building it on? To me, this idea of respect is the key. And journalism, like everything else, needs to be conducted with respect. And I don't think there's been enough of it.
The adversarial style of interviewing we so often see in press conferences can fail to produce substantial answers while annoying viewers or listeners. Sacha Molitoritz says there is another way to go about it.
Sometimes daily journalists take a point of pride in being quite tough. And I know when I was a daily reporter, you didn't want to let anyone off the hook if it was a business person or a politician. But now that I am outside mainstream journalism, I often watch the press conferences and think, wow, they are so rude. At what point does tough questioning end and aggression begin?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I see the same thing. I think there is too much aggression and there's too much of a way of thinking that's adversarial, that's journalists against interviewees, where I don't think it has to be like that a lot of the time. I mean, Andrew Denton, okay, this is a different type of interviewing, but he would talk about a third way of interviewing that wasn't adversarial and it wasn't fluffy PR type of journalism. And that's why he called his TV program Enough Rope. He would go for this approach, which was incredibly well-researched, backed up by this research, but would then seek to communicate with the person to get that person to talk and to tell a story. And the title, you know, coming from that phrase of you give someone enough rope and they'll hang themselves.